All right. Any other? Let's have a Bible study. Open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Now we know that since the Holy Spirit is here, he's going to show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. And we're going to get revelation from it because you've already given us that spirit of wisdom and revelation. We're going to know how to operate in your word the way you desire us to. And we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. There's nothing that hell could ever devise that can stand up to the blood of Jesus. I can't tell you how important it is for you to let these words come out of your mouth once in a while. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my job. I plead the blood of Jesus over whatever it is that you want protected. Plead the blood of Jesus. That's how you appropriate the blood. Say it out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. I plead the blood of Jesus. That's how you appropriate the blood of Jesus. You don't need a hyssop branch. You don't need to be wrapped in a priest gown. You can be standing in your underwear brushing your teeth and say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Okay? It's not a big religious ritual. This is everyday living. This is how you survive. You know, the world is running around freaked out about this coronavirus. And you hear all different kinds of recipes on how to defeat this virus. You hear all different kinds of prophecies on how to defeat this virus. I don't hear anybody say, plead the blood of Jesus. The most powerful substance that's ever been released on this earth. I'm going to show you, remember, when I've told you this a lot of times, when you go into the Old Testament, go in there looking for types and shadows of Jesus. Go in there and see Jesus. Find him in the sacrifices. Find him in the different things that it talks about in there. He's identified in there a lot of different places. In the Old Testament, Jesus was concealed in there. But he got revealed in the New Testament. Now, once you get born again and you get that discernment, you can go back into the Old Testament on a firm foundation of grace and you can see Jesus. Remember, hindsight is 20/20. And now we can go back there and see Jesus and we can get a bigger revelation of who he is and what he's done. I want to show you something here. In Exodus chapter 12, let's go to verse 1. Now, just to lay a little bit of foundation here, Moses had been sent to Egypt to free the children of Israel, to get them out of that bondage. And he went in there and he did all kinds of signs and wonders. All these different things, you know, they had the frogs, they had the flies, they had the river of blood, they had the different storms, the hail and fire. They had all kinds of different stuff happen. But notice, none of that stuff, none of those signs and wonders got them people set free. But look what did get them people set free. Verse 1 said, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month thou shalt take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Remember, God said he would provide himself a lamb. The Lamb of God, Jesus. This has a neon sign right here. This is Jesus. He's talking, this is Jesus stuff. Take that lamb. I found it interesting, the Sanhedrin in Israel right now, they have a lamb ready. And they asked Prime Minister Netanyahu to let them sacrifice that lamb on Passover on the Temple Mount. It would be the first time in 2,000 years. And he didn't say no. He only said yes. But he didn't. It's always been blocked every time before. They have an altar made. They have everything in place. They have an altar made. They have everything else in place. That altar, they have it in another town, but it can be gathered up and it can be at the Temple Mount immediately. They have a red heifer. Remember when everybody was looking at the tetrad of the blood moons and all these feasts of Israel were falling in line with these tetrads of blood moons. It was all happening at the same time. And it was astronomical odds, and all the events in the skies that lined up with these feasts. Remember, I told you in history, when that happened, something very significant happened in Israel and America. We've seen some very significant things happen. America called Jerusalem the capital of Israel. That hasn't ever happened. There's significant things happening now. There's people getting born again in countries that are absolutely rabid about Christians. You know, they're having revivals in Iran, in Pakistan. You know, one time I got a call on the church phone, and I thought, I'm going to answer it this time. I'm going to just humor myself. So I answered it, and it wasn't a scammer. It wasn't somebody asking for money. He had a funny accent, though, so I listened to this guy for a little bit, and he said, I'm a pastor in Pakistan, and I just want you to agree with me if God wants me to come to America, but not to stay. He said, I'm called to preach in Pakistan. And he started telling me all this stuff, and I'm thinking, so when's he going to ask me for some money, or where's the scam part of this? And he kept going and going, and then he said, you know, I went to school in Christ for the Nations, and I thought, well, that's odd. And then he started throwing names out. He mentioned Wayne Myers and Jody. I said, you went to school with Jody? And he said, yes, I went and got Jody's phone number, texted Jody and said, hey, there's this guy from Pakistan, said he's a pastor and he's doing all this stuff. Jody sent me pictures of him doing open air meetings in Pakistan. It's on. It's on. America's half asleep. They don't realize it's on, but it's on. All around the world, it's happening. It's happening in a big way. Now, what we're talking about here, the Lamb of God. He said, take a lamb for a house, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Jesus was certainly without blemish. He is absolutely perfect in every way. He was the ultimate sacrifice. There was not one thing wrong with him. He was absolutely without blemish. They said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." He was the firstborn man from Mary. So you see the type and shadow here? You see Jesus in this? "A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." See, they had to take them branches and dip them branches in that blood and strike it on the posts and on the door lintel. That's how they applied the blood. We don't have to have a branch now. We apply the blood by saying, "I plead the blood of Jesus." Some people use oil. They'll take oil and they'll put it on their doorpost and on their lintel and say, "I apply the blood of Jesus to this house." Do you see how we do it here? "They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat of the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs shall they eat it." Roast with fire. "Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head and his legs, and with the presence thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire." Remember, Jesus was taken out of the city. He was taken out of the city. And when he was on his cross, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on him right there. Every sin, every sickness, everything wrong with mankind was laid on Jesus. And it went dark. And God turned his eyes from Jesus, and Jesus looked up at him and he said, "My Father," or he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, that's the first time that Jesus ever addressed him as God. Up until that time, every time you ever hear him talk about it, he said, "My Father." Why did he say all of a sudden change courses? Now he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because if he hadn't have been forsaken, we would have been. But now because he was forsaken, we're accepted. Amen? "Thus shall you eat with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Circle that verse. Verse 13. You notice? It doesn't say those that were in great faith, I will pass over. It doesn't say those that went to church every Sunday, I will pass over. It doesn't say those that have been reading their Bible every day, I will pass over. It doesn't say those that were walking the line, I will pass over. It said those when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Those that have the blood applied. Number one, when you get born again, you get blood applied to you. But then you take it a step further and you do it on purpose. You say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I don't know anything else. You know, sometimes we run into situations we just don't know the answer to. We can't think of a prayer to say. Say, God, I don't know what to do. I plead the blood of Jesus over this. I'm going to give it over to you. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I do that for people. People ask me to pray for them. You know, I'm not kidding you. If I get 50% of the story, I'm doing pretty good. I'm serious. People come up to me with life and death situations, and I get 50% of the story sometimes. So I'll pray for them the best way I can, and then when I get out of there, I say, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over them because I really don't know. You do. And then a couple months later, they'll tell me a little bit more of the story. But thank God, God, he kept them alive long enough to tell that, so maybe we can address another issue. You see how it goes? We don't know all the answers. Plead the blood of Jesus. Amen? Plead the blood of Jesus over them. Now, with that said, that's what we're up to. We plead the blood of Jesus. We've seen the type and shadow of Jesus in there, didn't we? We've seen him in that sacrifice. Turn over to John chapter 19. Jesus is at the cross. Jesus is on the cross. He's already been through the passion. He's been through the trials. He's been through everything. He's already walked his walk to get to Golgotha. He's on the cross. Everything's been laid on him. And look what he says here in verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Said, it is finished. You know, in different languages, a teller would say, it is finished. But it would be, this debt's been paid in full. Our debt has been overpaid. Jesus did a completely perfect work on that cross. He fulfilled the law 100%. A perfect man on this earth. A completely righteous man before God who completely fulfilled the law. And see, they only put people on the cross that were guilty of something, that actually broke the law. And Jesus never broke the law. He took our place. And because he did that, we can take his. He took the punishment that was meant for us so that we can receive the blessing that was meant for him. Now turn over to Galatians chapter 3. That being said, Jesus, our perfect sacrifice, this is what he did. At that very minute, when he said, it is finished, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 29 says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and theirs according to the promise. Right there at that minute, when he said, it is finished, the debt was paid. We're no longer held accountable to the law. Now, there's some people that try to live by the law. There's some people that try to live by their own good works. We're called to live by the grace of God and believe on Him and what He did for us on that cross. But there's some people that think that they can earn their own right standing before God. And then they wonder why these things happen to them when they do. If you pick up your own works, you pick up the law, and try to be right before God on your own merit, then you're going to be held accountable to that. And no man except Jesus has ever been able to walk a perfect walk. So why would you try that trick? Why not just plead the blood of Jesus? Stay under the blood of Jesus. Say, Jesus, Father, I'm not here on any merits of my own. There's nothing I can ever do to be good enough to deserve your favor. But Jesus got on the cross and He died for me and He shed His blood for me. And I plead the blood of Jesus over me and I receive your unmerited favor upon me because it's mine as a child of God. You're not there on any of your own merit. You're there because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now let's look over here to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the first 14, the first 13 verses of that are the blessing upon you. These are covenant blessings, and it covers pretty much everything that you're ever going to encounter. You should read those once in a while. But just in case you want to wonder about the rest of it, just go through there. Just so you're familiar with it. So you know what the curse is. It has all these sicknesses in there. It goes through all these failures. All these different things that can go wrong and go bad. And he said, and these sicknesses, even sicknesses that aren't even named, will come upon you for not following the law. Well, there was nobody talking about COVID-19 when Jesus was on this earth. But they said even sicknesses that aren't even named is under the curse. Now, I'm sure that if you're floating around in Never Never Land on the internet or listening to a lot of different preachers, you're bound to hear somebody say that this is God's judgment on somebody. It'll be God's judgment on some city or some state or America. This is worldwide. Always, 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 always remember this. Go to John chapter 10, verse 10. See, God had taken the blame for a lot of stuff. And Jesus got down here and he started explaining to them who God was. And right here, he just gave you maybe one of the best verses for understanding where sickness comes from or anything bad comes from, right here is your answer. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief, this is Jesus talking right here, this is in red. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Is the COVID bug stealing? Certainly it's stealing people's health. It's stealing people's peace of mind. Is it killing? Yeah, there's people dying of COVID bug. Is it destroying? Yeah, it's destroying businesses. It's destroying people's finances. It's destroying people's dreams. My little great niece, this was her final year to play softball in college. And they were having a banner year. This was going to be a good run for them. And they all got cut short. There's a lot of kids in that boat. You know, there's people that had dreams of going to the national finals. You know, they've already missed their big spring run. They're not really sure when they're going to happen, when they're going to be able to pick up. That's shattered dreams. You know, the Kentucky Derby goes on in May. They already postponed that. And then they postponed the Preakness. Those are shattered dreams. Those are destroyed dreams. You know, there's businesses that are going bankrupt. And they're looking to the government to help them. And the government says, you don't qualify. You have less than 6 employees. This is supposed to be small business loans. These are shattered dreams, the COVID bug. And it's straight from the pit of hell. Jesus said that. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So if it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's from the pit of hell. It's from the devil. It's not God's judgment upon you. He's on our side. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Look down to verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He did that. He gave his life for us. One really good way to honor Jesus and his sacrifice is to plead the blood of Jesus. Take part in the benefits of salvation. Now go up to verse 9. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Not born again, saved. It's very important for a man to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. But preachers need to get it right. It's not just born again. Salvation, that great big word. I mean, healing, protection, deliverance, provision. He's the good shepherd. Whatever you need, it's wrapped up in Jesus. Go to him and receive it. Well, there's some people that are afraid right now. There are some people at home that are they're scared. Some Christians at home, they're afraid. Do not worry. Jesus will meet you where you're at. One man came to Jesus and said, come to my house and lay hands on my servant. Be all right. Lay hands on my daughter and she'll be okay. Another man came up to him and said, all you got to do is just speak a word. And you'll be all right. They both got healed. What's that about? Jesus met them where they were. If you have great faith, praise God. Jesus will meet you at that. If you don't, plead the blood of Jesus and say, Jesus, save me. Peter said that. Peter lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. He was walking on the water one day and he started sinking. And he said, Jesus, save me. You know, that's the smartest thing you can do. Amen. Don't worry if you don't think you have enough faith. You don't. Jesus has enough grace to cover the faith that you don't think you have. Amen. Plead the blood of Jesus. Ask Jesus to save you from this. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that for everything that Jesus did for us on that cross, and the shedding of his blood, in his death, his burial, his resurrection. And because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we win. He made us more than conquerors. And we are the sheep who Jesus loves. He is our good shepherd and he loves us. And Father, we thank you that you love us with the same love that you love Jesus with. Father, I pray that sometime we'll understand just how much you love us, how big your love is for us. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus for a deeper revelation of your love for us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.